Well, for those that I haven't met either, my name's Jill Menjam and I'm part of the lay ministry team here at St Andrews, and it's a real joy to be preaching here this morning. But may we pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, today's topic is one that really challenges us. And so I ask that you touch each of our hearts and help us to see all people as you do, and welcome all people as you do, recognizing that we are all part of your kingdom, your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we bring to a close our series of talks looking at the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of ordinary people. And over the summer, we've been looking at various passages from the book of Acts to uncover examples of the Holy Spirit at work in the apostles and the early Christians. And today we conclude the series looking at how the Holy Spirit changes instinctive prejudice in people. And we're going to be using the examples of Saul, Ananias, Barnabas, and the Jerusalem disciples, who all feature in the reading that Jenny's just done for us from Acts chapter 9. Now that's on page 124 if you'd like to follow it as we go through. But before we look at the passage itself, let's have a look at the context for this teaching. Because it's important to understand why there was such prejudice that needed to be changed in the first place. So in this context for our passage is, of course, the story of the conversion of Paul. So by way of a quick recap, for those who haven't read it for a while, Saul is, of course, a strict Pharisee and upholder of the law. He's zealous for his Jewish beliefs. He sincerely believed that this new Christian movement, the Way, as he referred to it, was a threat to the Jewish faith. And as a result, he mercilessly persecuted anyone who believed in Christ. And now he's on his way to Damascus and his reputation is travelling ahead of him. Now that reputation partly comes, if you remember the story back in Acts chapter 7, that when Stephen was dragged out of the city to be stoned to death, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, and Saul approved of their killing him. Saul is powerful, he's scary, he's acting under the authority of the chief priests, and he's a real threat to the new Christians. So it's not surprising then that the Christians have an instinctive prejudice against him. However, as we learn, God has another plan for Saul, and on the road to Damascus, he's stopped in his tracks by Jesus himself, asking, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And of course, this is a reference back to the teaching in Matthew 25. You know, whatever you do to the least of one of these, you do to me. In persecuting the Christians, Saul is directly persecuting Christ. Well, Saul has an amazing transformation and goes on to become the Apostle Paul, one of the most significant teachers, followers, and servants of Christ. But for now, back where we are, Saul is physically blinded by the image of Christ, and that serves to mirror, if you like, his spiritual blindness. And so his travelling companions have to lead him on his way into Damascus. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, back in our reading from today that Jenny's just done for us, we find ourselves in Damascus and in the house of Ananias, who knows nothing of what's just happened. He only knows of Saul's reputation, and so when Jesus asks him in a vision to go and find Saul and lay hands on him and restore his sight, it's not really surprising that Ananias isn't very keen on the idea and puts up a bit of a protest. It's not surprising that he bears an instinctive prejudice against Saul. But when we think a bit more deeply, what's the cause of this prejudice in Ananias? And I can probably see three probable reasons for it. Fear, ignorance, and what I call herd mentality. That does exist as a term. We can all understand why Ananias is fearful of meeting Saul, given Saul's reputation. But imagine how we would feel if we were asked to go and lay hands on someone who was responsible for the imprisonment or even death of our friends, like Stephen. But there was also a degree of ignorance in this prejudice, because Ananias had never met Saul for himself. He wasn't in possession of all of the facts. He had no idea what had just happened to him on the road into Damascus. He had no idea how God was working in Saul. He had no idea of God's plan for Saul. So he's ignorant of those facts. He's formed a judgment, and his mind is made up. Well, thirdly, as with any prejudice, really, there's a degree of herd mentality. The definition of this is it's a tendency of people in a group to think and behave in ways that conform with others in the group rather than thinking or behaving as individuals. And there's actually a reference to this kind of group behaviour in verse 13 when Ananias answers Jesus initially. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. That's quite a term, it heard from many. He's not seen it or experienced it for himself. He's just listening to what the crowd have been saying. But nonetheless, that prejudice, that fear, that ignorance, that herd mentality is present. But it's not just there in Ananias. If you think back a wee bit further, think about Saul's prejudice against the Christians. In his case, his prejudice was mainly due to the fact that these new Christians were proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. And for Paul, as a devout Jew, this was heresy in his faith, and he despised everything that the Christians stood for. But perhaps his prejudice was also driven by an element of fear. Fear about the speed with which this new cult, if you like, was spreading, and fear of its impact on his own precious Jewish laws and culture. And maybe that's why he chose Damascus as his next place for persecuting the Christians, out of a fear that the Christianity would spread like wildfire. Damascus is the centre of lots of trade routes into other cities in the Roman Empire. And so it would spread very quickly if it took a hold in Damascus, and Paul wanted to put a stop to that. He had a fear that he was losing control. But it could also be argued that Saul's prejudice against the new Christians was partly due to ignorance. After all, it was his ignorance, his spiritual blindness, that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the fulfillment of scriptures. It was those things that drove Saul's instinctive prejudice against anyone who believed in Christ. And again, we see that Saul was operating alongside the rest of the Pharisees and the chief priests, acting under their authority in wanting to stamp out this new Christian faith. So there's that herd mentality appearing again. Well, back in Damascus, fear and herd mentality were definitely behind the prejudice that the Jews were now developing against Saul. Fear that this once powerful Pharisee was now becoming an increasingly more powerful Christian. So after his conversion, the power, the strength and so on that he used as a Jew, he was now using in his new Christian faith. And in verse 33, when the Jews in Damascus are plotting to kill him, they're certainly hunting as a pack, aren't they? We change the scene to Jerusalem in our reading in verse 26, but that doesn't bring about a change in behaviour. The disciples in Jerusalem are still prejudiced against Saul. And that's through fear, because they knew of his reputation and they knew of his presence at Stephen's stoning. Through ignorance, they weren't aware of Saul's dramatic conversion, nor his powerful teaching in the synagogues in Damascus. And also through herd mentality again, they were thinking and behaving as a group. All that until, of course, Barnabas steps in. So prejudice can be as a result of fear or ignorance or simply following the crowd. But there's often another major factor in instinctive prejudice, something that is demonstrated very powerfully in Acts chapter 11. That factor is difference, seeing people as different to ourselves. Now, we're not going to cover that today, but if you have time later, or maybe if you're meeting as a life group later this week, please take a look at the additional reading on this topic. It's Acts chapter 11, 1 to 18. And it's Peter's account of his meeting with Cornelius, a Roman centurion and a Gentile. It's a very powerful account of Peter's instinctive and deep-seated racial prejudice against the Gentiles and how the Holy Spirit necessarily changed this to enable the spread of the gospel. Well, of course, it is the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit that changed the instinctive prejudice in Ananias and in Saul too. And it's the Holy Spirit who enabled Barnabas to step forward and on behalf of Saul and to stand up for him to reassure the Jerusalem disciples. This extraordinary work that we've been seeing through the summer, it isn't just evident in today's passage. It's been there throughout our summer teaching series, how the Holy Spirit changes lives, changes behaviours, changes attitudes, and in this specific passage, changes instinctive prejudice. Ananias would not have been able to visit Saul in his own fear and mindset at the time. Instead, what we see is that as well as being obedient to the Holy Spirit and strengthened by the Holy Spirit to go and visit Paul, Ananias is transformed by the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, instead of greeting Saul in fear, he greets him as a friend, brother Saul. In verse 18, it's by the Holy Spirit that Saul not only regains his physical sight, but he also gains his spiritual sight, depicted by the scales falling off his eyes. And in verse 19, it may be food that gives Saul his physical strength, but it's baptism by the Holy Spirit that gives him his spiritual strength. The Holy Spirit has changed Saul's instinctive prejudice against the Christians to an immediate will to boldly proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, as for Barnabas, we know the Holy Spirit is working in him from the account in chapter 4, earlier in Acts, when Barnabas sells a field and places the money at the feet of the apostles. And the Holy Spirit is still working in Barnabas when he steps forward in verse 27 in our passage today, standing up for Saul and reassuring the disciples about his transformation. As an aside, I think it's understandable that the disciples in Jerusalem were suspicious, even sceptical about Saul being a disciple. Have you ever heard a testimony of a criminal or a murderer or an addict who's found Christ, but you've still been just a tiny bit suspicious or sceptical about whether the story is wholly true and will last? It's very hard to overcome a tarnished reputation, certainly one as tarnished as Saul's. And sometimes it needs a spokesperson, a Barnabas, to stand up and provide that reassurance. So I think we can see through this passage that the Holy Spirit changes instinctive prejudice. But why is it important? I think our gospel reading today points to the answer, and that's on page 5 of the New Testament if you want to follow it. In his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And then he says, "If we only love those who love us, what rewards do we have? If we greet only our brothers and sisters, what more are we doing than others? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." If God welcomes a merciless persecutor of Christians into his family, as he did with Saul, and sees every race and nation as equal in his sight, as he did with the Jews and the Gentiles, then who are we to behave otherwise? We are all equal in God's eyes. We are all part of that big family of God. But there's another reason, and it's in the extra homework that I just set you from Acts chapter 11. Peter says in verse 17, "If then God gave the Gentiles the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" We've talked about all being equal. The Gentiles and the Jews have the same gift from God. But who was I that I could hinder God? If the Holy Spirit hadn't changed the prejudice in Paul, history of Christian faith would be a very different thing. If the Holy Spirit hadn't changed the prejudice in Peter, he wouldn't have gone to that Gentile centurion. If we don't change the prejudice in us, we can't call ourselves children of God, and we may too be hindering the spread of the gospel. So the challenge for us today is, I would urge all of us to search deeply into our hearts, or maybe not so deeply, to find a person or a group of people, even a whole people, against whom we might be carrying even the smallest prejudice. Then let's try to understand if that prejudice is brought about by fear or ignorance, or because it's what others think, or because they're just different. And when we know what's driving the prejudice, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to drive it out, to change the instinctive prejudice within us, so that instead we can become great encouragers, welcomers, supporters, to stand up for those who are prejudiced against, as Ananias and Barnabas did. And so that we also don't hinder the spread of the gospel, as Peter might have done. And so I close now with the prayer I opened with. Heavenly Father, today's topic is one that really challenges us. And so I ask that you touch each of our hearts and help us to see all people as you do, and welcome all people as you do, recognizing that we are all part of your kingdom, your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.